Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of The Real Cougar Woman Unleashed. I'm your producer and co-host, Bonnie D. Graham, a little raspy but raring to go here in Cougar Land. And there's so much in the news about cougars, and we are continuing. This is part three of our very special Real Cougar Woman Valentine Month featured spotlight guest show. That's a big mouthful, but we've got another winner of a real cougar for you, and I've got my real winner of a co-host, the woman who coined the phrase and means it with every fiber in her heart, real cougar woman, the one and only Linda Franklin. Good morning, Linda.
Hey, good morning, Bonnie. How are you, except for that raspy throat?
I'm raspy, but sincere as always, you know
me. Okay, wonderful. We'll get through.
Linda, real cougar woman, you send out your fabulous feed blitzes, and I noticed you're starting to pick on celebrities recently, bring them to the forefront. First of all, you're a great writer. Love your writing, Linda, and you just find a way of taking these very long, detailed news stories and just gelling them and condensing them into little sound bites that anybody who's busy could just afford to go read your website, read your blast, and say, hey, how about that? Let me think about that. And your latest victim, or target, should I say, is Madonna and, oh, forgive me for this, Jesus.
And Jesus, yes.
Madonna,
we could say Jesus, but we're going to say Jesus.
I love it. I think you're going with the. You're definitely going with the high-powered pronunciation here. So what's up with Madonna? She helped to come between A-Rod and his wifey, and then he did the steroid admission, and then he ran back to wifey, and Madonna's looking at a 22-year-old model who grew up Christian, and she's introducing him to $50 a bottle Cabala water. Can you straighten me out, please?
Listen, Madonna is Madonna. Madonna is a publicity hound. Madonna will do whatever it takes to have her name in the news. And she's starting her new, her European concert. Was it sweet and something or other, sour or sweet and salty?
Thicker or something.
So, you know, what a great to have all of this spin around her as she moves, to do her concert. So I don't know how real or unreal it is, but obviously she does like younger men. But she is definitely a real cougar woman because they only talk about, you know, that part is her relationships. But look what she's done. Look at the Madonna phenomenon. It's been going on for a lot of years. So she's one very smart lady.
She is. She's a major merchandiser, in my opinion. That's her biggest strength, that she knows how to sell herself. And she could sell ice to the Eskimos in the winter and, you know,
absolutely,
sell suntan lotion to Floridians on the beach in Miami in August. So we
so
know she...
They love to pick her apart, but meanwhile, you know, the bottom line is the bottom line, and she's laughing all the way to the bank.
That is the bottom line.
Right.
Now, let's just dish on a couple of more cougars. Jennifer Aniston just officially became a cougar. I don't know if she's aware of it, but she just turned 40. To me, she'll still be 20-something always, and she's like 98% naked on the cover of GQ. So you think she's going to cash in on the cougar thing because she's still single?
Yes, I think she absolutely will. You know, she's another publicity hound. And whatever it takes to have her face on the same page as her nemesis there, you know, Angelina. So,
yes.
Yeah, you know, there's obviously some big rivalry going on there. And, you know, she's a good-looking, pretty woman, and she's going to capitalize on that for many years to come. She's
and
not hurting anybody, so
no,
if she wants
no,
to do
not.
That, she certainly has the body for it, right?
From what I could tell.
I didn't see an ounce of fat on there.
No, she's working hard at it. And you know something, not only in the movies and on TV, and we know there are some scathing parodies of cougars on Saturday Night Live, the Cougar Den. I can't
the
even
cougar
deal with
den.
It.
The Cougar Den, oh, come on, that is just too funny.
It is too funny, but you're writing a book. Tell us the title of the book, because that's going to be my perfect segue into introducing our guest. Talk about the book, Linda.
Okay, the name of the book is No Man Wants to Date His Mother, and they are real cougar secrets for attracting any man at any age. And this is what every woman has to do to be that woman, that complete woman, that wants to attract all these good things into her life, including the younger man, if that's her desire. But this is I've just done a complete brain dump of all the things that it really needs to, you really need to be to attract that special someone or something into your life.
Well, that sounds great. And clearly, this is real-time, real-life nonfiction.
Nonfiction. Got a lot of stories. I've been gathering a lot of stories from a lot of people, getting a lot of tips. In fact, next week, I'm interviewing Susan Quilliam, who just did the revised Joy of Sex. So there's going to be lots of interesting tidbits and a lot of wonderful, heartwarming, inspiring stories in the book as well.
Well, we're about to talk in the next 2 or 3 seconds when I shut up to a real cougar who didn't intentionally become a cougar. I don't even know if she knew she was a cougar when it happened to her, but she happens to be a very successful published novelist of mysteries and YA, young adult stories, and she's under contract already to write a book about cougars. So why don't we bring on our special Valentine featured guest, Susan McBride, and in a couple of seconds we'll introduce her wonderful younger husband, Ed. Susan, welcome.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Linda.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Susan, first, before we get into your amazing story, tell us about your book. What is it going to be called, and what are you writing about?
I'm under contract with HarperCollins Avon to write a trade paperback beach-type book called The Cougar Club, about 3 40-something women who live in St. Louis, where I live, who are friends and who happen to be in their 40s, and several of them are involved with younger men. And the third has a brush with a younger man, kind of a possible fling. She's married to someone her own age.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Is that like the friends with benefits?
Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of, kind of. We're going to find all about it. Now, let's say hi to Ed so we don't leave him hanging. Ed, welcome.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We're going to be asking you some personal but not terribly personal questions over the next 20 minutes or so about what it's like to have met and fallen in love with a woman who's 10 years older than you and the benefits of being married to a cougar. So you can just stand by and take a deep breath, okay?
All righty.
Thank you. Oh, he has a nice voice, too.
Yes.
He does.
Very low and masculine. We like that.
Good choice, Susan.
Unlike mine.
You have a charming voice. I was so immediately charmed by your little drawl. You're a St. Louis native?
My mom is from St. Louis, and going back 6 generations on her side of the family, but I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, lived in many different places growing up. My dad worked for IBM, and at the time we called it I've Been Moved because 2 to 3 years. Yeah, we
love
picked
it
up, and I've lived all over the Midwest and in Greenwich, Connecticut for a while, and then in Houston and Dallas for like 20 years. So I tend to say y'all. When I'm around St. Louis people, it's y'all's mixed with you guys. When I go back to Texas, if I call anybody you guys, I get in trouble. So
there you go. And I stick corrected. I always say St. Louis, but you said St. Louis, and you're the one.
Say so St. Louis.
If you want to say St. Louis, I'll add the S back. Now, let's talk about your story. You were unmarried. You established yourself as a successful writer. You had moved around a lot. You were very persistent, weren't you? A lot of tenacity in your personality. You weren't getting published right away.
No. It took about 10 years after college before, and 10 manuscripts. I wrote a manuscript a year, all different kinds of things. Yeah, I was very determined, and I didn't ever want to be self-published. That was a goal of mine, was to be traditionally published. So, I tried writing all kinds of things. I wrote romance. I wrote sort of the contemporary coming-of-age stories. I wrote mysteries, of course, and some that weren't published, and then I happened to win a contest sponsored by a small press, and that's how my first mystery was published in 1999, called And Then She Was Gone. So I did 2, and these were kind of darker mysteries with a small press, you know, got a really good New York agent, was signed for a 3-book deal with Avon to do a cozy amateur sleuth series about a debutante dropout in Dallas and her socialite mother and how they stumble over dead bodies, you know, at charity events. And,
well, obviously you have a sense of humor, too. I hear a lot of humor and a lot of spirit in what you do. Do you enjoy writing full-time?
Oh, I love writing. I mean, it's the best. It's my dream job. I had always loved writing growing up. I never seriously thought, though, like, I will be a novelist.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of imagined I'd be a lawyer because I like to argue, or maybe a teacher because I do love books so much, and I always loved school. I just sort of realized while I was in college and took a year off to write a novel, like a 600-page historical romance. That never saw the light of day. Oh, Bonnie, I think I'm getting your
No, honey, my laughter is infectious, but not my
throat. I can't blame it on you.
No, that's okay. I'll give you a break here. Now, you came. Let's fast forward a little bit to the point where you were named one of St. Louis's top singles, you were one of only two women over 40 in that exclusive group.
Exactly.
How did you get to catch the attention of St. Louis Magazine or whoever held this naming?
Yeah, St. Louis Magazine, every year they have a top singles issue in November and look for 10 women and 10 men. And I think they like to find people in kind of really cool occupations or people in the media or, you know, just usually younger people, 20s and 30s, who are doing something really interesting with their lives. And it doesn't help if you're attractive, I guess. And my mom actually submitted my name and my sister's, and they pursued me and had me, you know, send them some photographs and fill out a questionnaire, and they ended up selecting me as one of the 10 women. And, yes, I was one of two women over 40, and there was one man over 40.
Wow.
Everybody
else
was younger.
You were breaking some barriers right there alone by saying, hey, and you do look amazingly young, very beautiful, very trim.
You.
I know you eat a lot of veggies and you work out,
yeah.
And that's one of your important values in your life. So here you are, you're at the top of the singles spire,
yeah.
And not sure what's going to happen, and then some events were involved with this. So tell us, how did this lead you to the wonderful Ed?
Well, for about 10 years after my first book came out, I was so involved with getting my writing career going that I pretty well neglected my social life, and I traveled so much, and I was meeting not guys that were suitable for me, a lot of married guys at these book festivals and mystery conventions, and I didn't want any part of that. When I was picked to be a top single, I actually thought, okay, great, you know, here's an opportunity. I'm going to open myself up, and I'm going to throw away my list of, you know, all my prerequisites that my mom laughs at me in high school. I broke up with one boy because he wore bad shoes. And she said,
You're a woman with standards. What's wrong with that, right, Linda?
Nothing.
I love it.
But I think I kind of went in with my eyes wide going, look, if somebody, you know, is attractive to me and we have a good conversation and I have fun when I meet them, just talking to them for a few minutes even, I'm gonna be open to, you know, getting to know them, even if it's just as a friend.
Okay.
And so one of the top singles, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, I heard that voice again.
Nope. Loud and clear. We're fine.
One of the top singles happened to be a coworker of Ed's, and I was talking to him at this party that the magazine threw at the Contemporary Art Museum for the issue, and about 300 guests were there. It was very crowded, very noisy, and I was talking to Jeremy, and Ed happened to show up and, of course, came over to see Jeremy, his friend from work, and Jeremy introduced us, and we started talking, and he gave me his card, which I lost that night.
Wait a minute. A good-looking man, you have a blank slate on your social calendar, and
I lost it.
You lost it. A little afraid of commitment, maybe, Honey Bunch?
No, it was just a crazy night, and there were a lot of people around,
and I don't know
where I put it. Yeah. And thankfully, he emailed the magazine and asked to be, you know, put in touch with me, and they forwarded his email, and he invited me to a hockey game the next week. And
now, this is the perfect time to get Ed on. Ed, what drew you to Susan at that particular event?
She was smart, funny, attractive.
And you really wanted to date her.
You know,
I was a hot mama, baby.
You were a hot mama. When were you aware at the time, Ed, that she was 10 years older than you?
I was aware.
It was in the magazine.
That's true.
But I thought, you know, she seems pretty cool. And I thought, you know, it would be good to go out with her and get to know her a little better and find out more about her. And
very nice.
the more
and that
I
was
got
it.
To know
that was it. And she was also somewhat of a celebrity. Was that of any importance to you?
I was not.
Yes, you were. You made
very minor.
You were on a list in St. Louis. You were being honored, and your picture was on the cover of a magazine. You were a celebrity.
It doesn't hurt.
See that?
Got it. You're good, Ed. You're good. He's my man. Okay, so Susan, take over now. So he invited you to a hockey game, and it was your first ever hockey game.
Yeah, my first ever hockey game, and I had a really good time. I dressed really badly for a hockey game, though. I didn't realize how cold it was inside the arena. It's like 55 or something, and I had on cute little flats and, you know, a cute little thin sweater and
and
a little thin coat, and I just about froze to death. But we had a great time, and I was being put on the auction block the next week for a charity auction. It was bachelors and bachelorettes in town, and a few of the top singles from the magazine were there, and then other people from the local media were being auctioned off. And Ed had been out of town. I know he had stopped by my condo before he went out of town to pick up my first mystery in the debutante dropout series, Blue Blood, to take on his trip, which was a good excuse, I thought, to
That's
come
very
by and
nice.
See me again.
That's very nice, show of interest.
So I let him know about this auction, and he said he was getting back in town that day and he would try to come down. And so I didn't know if he would or not, but he did. He showed up with a wad of cash and bid on me and won me at this auction.
I'm afraid to ask.
How much?
I'm going to ask in a minute, but I was a bachelor auction host. Yes, celebrity MC for the Cancer Care of Long Island here a couple of years in a row at a major venue where I was on stage, and I'm a former stand-up comic and improv artist. I don't know what you call myself, improv comic. And I was just having the time of my life on stage in high heels and a cocktail dress in front of 900 screaming women with cash in their pockets, selling men for about $900 to $1,000 a pop.
The men went for a lot.
How did you go? How much did you go for?
Oh, we don't want to talk about it because it's depressing.
All right, we'll keep that as a secret. Susan and Ed's secret.
I did go for thousands, too bad. He got to keep some of his money.
Okay. So how did you feel about being bought by a man who was, A, younger, B, you hardly knew, and C, you were curious about? What did that feel like?
I was relieved because the guy bidding against him seemed very odd. So I thought, please don't make me go out on a date. We called him the green shirt guy.
Now we have Ed is the knight on the white horse in the shining armor, rescuing
completely.
The fair damsel from mystery green shirt guy at bachelor auction who might have put her on the back of a horse and take her to the dark mountains. So.
Oh, my God, who knows?
Oh, I just wrote a novel for you. Okay, so here we are, and you go out on the date. How did you design the date?
We went out to one of my favorite little Italian restaurants in my neighborhood, which he'd never been to, and we had a great time, although we didn't end up sitting in the main dining room. We were, like, downstairs, and there's a private room down there. There's nothing wrong with it, but we joked, and, like, when we were emailing about it, I said, I think we're down near the washer and the dryer, and they pass us the dirty linen, and we helped them out all night. So that was kind of, you know, we joke around a lot. We're very goofy. And I knew he had a good sense of humor just from, you know, the few times I'd been out with him and through our emails. And we had a great time. We went to a movie. My friend Scott Phillips wrote a novel called The Ice Storm, and the movie with John Cusack had just come out, and I made Ed take me, you know, to go see it. And it was kind of not a great date movie. There are, like, strippers in it and, you know, crazy kind of things that you say, don't look.
Yep.
But we had a really good time. He was someone that I could just talk and talk and talk with and not run out of conversation. And he knew so many esoteric things. I mean, he has his doctorate in computer science, but his interests are so varied and mine are so varied. I think we both surprised each other at how much we had in common and what crazy things we each knew that we thought nobody else in the world knew. So we just clicked.
And then, and how did we get from dating and bachelor auctions and the bachelorette auctions and sitting in the wrong part of the restaurant? How did we get to a wedding ring?
Well, I think we knew pretty quickly that this was something special. At least I did. Within a couple months, we were spending a lot of time together, and I knew he was the one. Probably within about 3 months of having met him.
Now, Ed, how soon did you know that Susan was the one?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How soon did you know that Susan was the one?
Oh, I knew a little bit after she figured things out.
Did she tell you? Did she say, you're the one?
Yeah.
She did.
She did. Okay. And
I probably freaked him out completely, I'm sure.
Well, you may have, but that you're being a cougar woman, whether you knew it or not. You know, we're independent, we're strong, and we're
Well,
we speak
our
mind.
Well, I didn't want to waste my time. I kind of told him, if you're not feeling something near the same thing I'm feeling, I really don't want to just, you know, keep going on and deluding myself. So I really needed to know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Linda, that's something else we have to add to the bodies of cougar women. We seek clarity, right?
Well,
yeah.
You need clarity. You're going with your gut, and you know what you want, and you want to make sure that they're on the same wavelength. I agree.
I think that's great.
That's how it was. So Ed was probably terrified, and I know at one point when I did bring this up, and he went to work the next day, he had kind of, you know, moved into my condo at that point, and
okay.
I told my mother, yeah, I told her what I'd done, and she said, oh, my God, you will never see him again.
Oh, no. Well, that's a different generation, right?
I know.
From a generation where you didn't put any pressure on a man, and you were just coy.
Right.
Very coy, and you just kind of flooded your eyes and said, well, let's see what happens, and you
right.
don't ever
and
put
it was
pressure.
Up to him. Yeah, it was,
that's
I think
right.
there's so many instances when it's completely up to the man, and I just, at this point in my life, I was kind of in charge of my career and
yep.
and in charge of where I was going, and I just really didn't want to have my heart broken, you know, and spend my time falling more in love with somebody when they weren't on the same page. As
smart,
you know.
Smart. Smart. So, Ed, how bad was the pressure at that point? I'm relentless.
Yeah.
At that point, had you introduced each other to your families and to your friends?
Yeah, I remember meeting his parents in early January. We had met in early November and kind of dated throughout. Then I took him home for Christmas Eve dinner that Christmas, and he did not take me over to his family's house for the holidays. I don't think they knew about me at that point. He can clarify, but he did invite me to his birthday dinner, which was in early January, and I met his parents and his sister's current fiance then. So that was like the first meeting with the parents.
And how did they go?
Yeah, how did it go?
It went great. His dad's a professor at Washington University here in St. Louis, and he's very quirky, and Ed's quirky, and his mom talks a lot, as I do. And we got along very well, and I made his dad laugh, which I thought, okay, his dad likes me. And I didn't find out till later that his mother was concerned when she saw in the magazine it had said 40. I'd turned 41 since it came out, and was dating her beloved, you know,
little boy,
baby.
Son. Yes.
Baby. Ed, how did you take it when you heard your mother had concerns? Did that impact you at all?
I wasn't really too concerned about it.
Good.
I make my own decisions. And
there you go.
I wonder what mom's chief concern was. I mean, most moms certainly want to be grandmas, and if they say what you're with an older woman, how does that go?
Was that? Did she mention any of that, Ed?
You know, she really didn't get into any specifics.
Yeah, I have a feeling she didn't know me, and she saw, you know, that I was a novelist, and some of her friends, I think when she told them Ed was dating me, had actually read my books and said, oh, yeah, I love her books. And I think she thought, what is this woman, worldly woman who travels and writes novels, you know, going to do to my son who, you know, this computer software engineer who has a more private life. And I think maybe she worried I was going to take advantage of him or something.
Mm.
But once she met me, she's been great. In fact, when I went through the breast cancer thing a couple years ago, Ed's mom and my mom alternated driving me to radiation for 6.5 weeks so that I would never be alone.
She stepped up.
She was wonderful. Yeah, she stepped right up. She's been terrific. I mean, nothing but supportive and really loving both his parents. I mean, his whole family. Our families are crazy in different ways, but my mother adores Ed. I mean, she when she enters the room and he's there, she lights up. He's like her if she could have another son, which she has one son, but now Ed is her other son, and she just adores him. So.
Now, rumor has it that when you go out to a club, Ed gets carded, right?
At clubs or restaurants, yeah, we'll go to just to local restaurants to have a night out, and he looks very young. He looks, you know, he's 35, but he looks probably 10 years younger, and he gets carded about every other time, Ed, would you say?
Exactly.
And this last time he got, the waiter said, I hate to do this, you know, sir, but I feel like I should ask you for ID. And I said, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You know, not again. He's 35 and we're married and, you know.
Well, that's okay as long as he doesn't, you know, they don't think that you're his mother.
I know. That's what worries me, though. I tell him, what do they think? One waiter one time who carded him went, oh, my God, you're in your 30s. I thought you were, like, 18. And I said, oh, great. Because, I mean, I look good for 44, but, I don't look like I'm 24. So I wonder what that waiter thought. He probably, you know,
oh, he's probably thinking how lucky Ed is. He was such a beautiful woman.
So.
Any jealous friends?
Yeah.
Any jealous women friends of yours that maybe are married, you know, to a guy their age or older with kids?
Well, I know one of my friends who just saw the St. Louis Woman magazine that I'm on the cover of and looked through the photo spread and saw the picture of me and Ed said, I just have to tell you, you guys are just nauseatingly cute.
Nauseatingly cute. I'd take that any day of the week. Wouldn't you, Linda?
Yeah. Nauseatingly cute, but, you know, she was probably being very honest.
I know. Well, I do have a single friend who's in her late 30s, and she constantly tells me how she hates me.
Yes.
Because she...
With love.
With love.
With love.
But she's a tall girl, too, and Ed is tall, and I'm kind of height challenged. Well, I'm like 5'4 and a half. And I think
that's not high challenge at all, honey.
I'm 5'4 and a half. Well, I don't. That's not high challenge.
I'm 5'1. I'm looking
not
up.
When you wear heels.
Susan, we're winding down on time here, and I have to ask you a question that's been on my mind since we started the interview. Your book, your novel you're writing, The Cougar Club, how much of that is going to be informed by your experience meeting Ed and being a 10-year older than husband-wife?
Well, like anything I write, the Deb series, the YA series, or the mysteries, the Cougar Club is going to have little bits of real life, of course, woven in, little bits of my experiences. My sister, who's a year older, is still dating 25-year-old guys.
Wow.
She's not married. So a lot of crazy stories from her I would love to work in because she's been a cougar. I mean, even when she was under 40, she was a cougar. She was dating younger guys. I don't think she would know how to date a guy her age. So there's always a little bit of real life in my fiction.
Good to know. And if you could close your eyes right now and see your novel to be on the big screen, who would be playing, if you could have anybody, who would be playing your three cougars in the club? Any idea?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, there are a lot of very attractive actresses in their 40s out there. So there's, you know, Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston. You just name one.
Well, Courtney Cox is going to have a cougar show on television.
I heard that.
And, yeah.
Well, Cougar Town. But I heard supposedly that's misleading. It's just about like a football team or something called the Cougars.
Oh.
Well,
maybe you could make it really spicy and have one of your cougar ladies even older, maybe in her 50s.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, okay. Yay! Well, we'll look forward to it.
Thank you, guys. And if anyone wants more information on my books, I have a website at SusanMcBride.com, and they can check it out.
I was going to mention that. It's SusanMcBride.com. I want to wish you and Ed every happiness going forward. Good health to you, Susan.
Thank you so much.
And happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Happy, happy. And Ed, do you have one parting word for men who are looking to date younger women?
Go for it.
I knew you were going to say that.
Older women, yes. Older women, yes. Go for it is right, because the sky's the limit when it comes to falling in love and meeting your special person, and we shouldn't have the restrictions and bonds of age. Men have been dating younger women for years. Why can't we flip the coin, right?
Exactly, Bonnie. You go, girl. You tell it like it is.
Susan McBride, so lovely to meet you in person over the radio. Ed, you're a real champ, and keep your lady happy. She's a winner. Okay.
Aw, he does.
And Linda, you and I have 20 seconds to wrap up. What's on your mind this week, real fast? What's coming up for the Real Cougar Woman?
A couple of interviews this week on the radio, so we're really getting the word out, and that's great. And that's all I want to do is just keep giving women this positive image to aspire to.
There you go. I'm going to wrap it up. This is Bonnie D. Graham. Thanks for joining us on The Real Cougar Woman Unleashed. Our special guests were Susan McBride and her husband Ed and my special co-host Linda Franklin. And we'll see you next week. Keep Valentine's Month a happy one for real cougars everywhere. Here we go. Over and out.